This is Tony McCurry, March 11th, 2025, and I'm going to be doing another Fruit of the Light series, number 41. And in my studies, I present most of the time practical truth. I'm a practical truth student. And I like to look at all scripture and soak it in a way that even Old Testament scripture, especially the Psalms, we know that you can make almost all the Psalms of practical truth and usage for today. But I do it throughout my Fruit of the Light series. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 10, as always, and I won't read 3 through 7, but I'll skip over that. But in Ephesians 5, 1 through 10, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That's one of our tasks, is to reprove the works of darkness. But we can look at in Proverbs 15, where the heart of the righteous. It says 15:28 and 29 in Proverbs. "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the smooth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteousness." Practical truth, and this should be obvious, is for the practical working out and experience of the doctrine or instruction given to us in the Word of God. Practical truth is that all Scripture has truth and that we can recognize it, its usages in our daily lives with God's message to our heart, and know all Scripture is for our understanding. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit on each page. Going back to the kingdom on earth, we see Jesus in John 12:35. Jesus said to them, "Yet a little while is the light with you," and he's talking about himself. "Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." In John 12:45-46, it says that "he that seeth me, seeth him God that sent me." He says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." So Christ himself says that he is the light. In John 14:9-10, and Jesus says to them, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And sayest thou them, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not to myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." He's recognizing that God and the Father are one. Looking at how Israel constantly, I just found this kind of interesting as reading through the Old Testament, but how Israel constantly doubted God through Moses throughout the wilderness for the 40 years they were there. Now I got to wondering, well, how many times did Israel cry to God, you know? And we see Moses in the wilderness, and 15 times Israel grumbled to Moses and Aaron, and ultimately to the Lord. The first time the people complained to Moses that because of him and his talk of a promised land, Pharaoh made things worse for them in Exodus 5. And Moses had to complain to the Lord for the people. The Lord delivered Israel, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out of this place. That's Exodus 13:3. That's the first time. The second time, the people complained and said to Moses at the Red Sea, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. This was before he opened the sea. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. It seemed like it's almost on every page when you're reading throughout Exodus and Numbers that they're complaining about something. And then God's opened the sea and the Israelites just march across on dry land. And the Egyptians were destroyed. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord used against the Egyptians, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Yeah, for a short time. Let's go on to number three. When the people complained about the bitter water, and God provides sweet water in Exodus 15. And then number four, the people complained about being hungry, and God provided manna and quail meat in Exodus 16. And then number five, the people complained about being thirsty, and God provided water in Exodus 17. And then God gets a little angry or tired of the complaining, and then the punishment starts. Number six, the people complained about Moses' absence and forsaking the Lord by creating the golden calf. He was gone for 40 days and 40 nights, people. I mean, he ain't coming back. Y'all just give it up. Let's just go ahead and make this golden calf. You know, we done all that stuff he did before don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing because he ain't coming back and God ain't going to be with us no more. So that's typical of Israel. So the Lord orders the Levites to kill 3,000 people by the sword because they worship the golden calf. So God's done said, all right, I'm tired of you guys. Number seven, the people complained about adversity and food in Numbers 11. Moses was displeased and wants to die. So God, you know, God gave him 70 people to work with him, or 70 leaders to work with him to help him. In Numbers 11, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed the Lord, the fire was ceased. Now we're getting Numbers 11. Like I said, after Moses had done cry to the Lord and God gave him 70 elders to help him out. But Numbers 11, 4 and 5, and in the midst of the multitude that was among them fell lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Here again. They already had flesh to eat when they asked for it, but they got to go crying for more. In 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. Again, this is when Moses cried to the Lord because he's just tired of all the whining. And in Numbers 11, 31 through 33, and there went out north wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea. and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth, and the people stood up all day and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth-Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. That was number 7. Number 8 comes with Miriam, of all people. And Aaron complained about Moses' leadership. Well, the Lord curses Miriam with leprosy for 7 days. Then number 9, the people complained about how difficult it looked to enter the promised land, so they refused to enter. Number 10, the people complained again and wanted to kill Moses and try to select another leader. Well, this is where the Lord takes it out on quite a few of them. The Lord killed the 10 spies by the plague instantly, and then pronounced all the men over 19 years old except Joshua and Caleb would die in the wilderness and not enter the promised land. Then number 11, 19 years later, key leaders rebel against Moses. Number 16, God opens the earth and swallows the whole tribe, or the whole men who belong to Korah. Swallowed them and their tents. Just opened the earth and just took them and their family. Number 12, the people complained again and they accused Moses of killing God's people. And number 11, God kills 14,700 people that time. Number 13, the children of Israel murmured against Aaron and God showed favor to Aaron. And Numbers 17. Number 14, 19 years later, the people contended with Moses again because of no water. God provides water. Moses struck the rock. He wasn't supposed to strike it. Instead of speaking to the rock, as instructed by the Lord, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me, to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I give them. And then number 15. The people complained against God and Moses, and God sent fiery serpents. And we know about that one. Where the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it in a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it upon the standard. And it came about that if the fiery serpent bit a man, when they looked upon the bronze serpent, he lived. And we know that this is a picture of our Lord and Savior on the cross. And how once you look on the Lord, you will live again. Looking at the fruit of righteousness in James, James 3:13-18, we're back into New Testament. And who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. If he have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife, there is confusion and evil, every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. See, through practical truth, we can take this to heart and we can use this because it's like I said, just from practical reading, you can see how true this is. We can jump back to Psalms and see how it's in our heart. Psalms 40 verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I mean, that's our direction as body members of Christ. Is to have the outworking of the Lord's words in our heart. When we do stuff, we should, well, the bands that people used to put on, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Except it should be WWCD, what would Christ do? In Romans 12, 13 through 15, I'm sorry, Romans 2, 13 through 15, says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these have not the law, are a law unto themselves. So if they're doing God's law, then they're righteous in it. In 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Here it is again. Paul telling the Jews that the Gentiles have the law in their heart. If anything, they're more valued than the Israelites, bringing them to jealousy. And their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the mean and while accusing or else excusing one another. The body of Christ is to present the image or / light of Christ to the world with the fruit, which is the outworking or a walk, that he, Christ, would if he were in our place. Be an example of Christ. Be Christ. You know, I mean, no, we can't. Who am I? I can't be Christ, but I can represent Christ to the best of my ability. Christ is the light of the world. Everybody within my sight here knows that. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We are his image on earth today. Others are to see Christ in us. The fruit, which is the works that we produce in a daily basis to everybody. In Philippians 2, I'm going to read down through 16 to sum it up. If there be any consolation in Christ, in any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. This is the body member's admonishment, to be like-minded with all the attributes. Having the same love of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And 5. Capital, bold print. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and diverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, from start to finish, to be the light of Christ as we walk to the world. Among you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run or labored in vain. It was a short one, but it was a sweet one. I hope that you guys were edified with it, and anybody that hears it hereafter. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day, and Lord, we ask that you search our hearts, Lord, for those that need a healing or comforting touch, Lord. The list is long, and there are so many. But, Lord, we ask that you be with our earthly family. Lord, we ask that you be with our body family. And, Lord, we ask that you be with the speakers as they prepare their messages. And be with those that are traveling. And just be with our leaders as they try and pave a new way for America, Lord. For it's in Christ's precious holy name I pray. Amen.